as we celebrate this Mass on the vigil of the first Friday of the month of October, this month dedicated to Our Lady of the Rosary, in a very special way, since 1917, 106 years ago, to Our Lady of the Rosary of Fatima, our patroness, and the mother of this, her shrine. We also celebrate many other feasts of importance. Today, one of the major feasts of this particular day is one that is very dear to me. It is the feast of the holy monk and abbot, St. Placid. St. Placid was the son of Tertullus, a very wealthy Roman who was a friend of St. Benedict. And he actually gave St. Benedict the mountain upon which Monte Cassino is built. Of course, St. Benedict, after leaving Sublacum, went to Monte Cassino, and among those whom he became, who brought with him, was the little boy of Tertullus, who was 8 years old and was given to St. Benedict to be one of the first of the oblates of St. Benedict, and one of the first students of the school, which until very, very recently was attended by the highest and the best of families and the most noble of families and princely families of Europe. St. Placid, therefore, came with Benedict and was like a baby monk, which they were. And it was one of the things that St. Gregory the Great recounts in his dialogues is the fact that on a certain occasion, St. Benedict was praying in his cell, and he had a vision, and he saw that St. Placid was drowning in the lake nearby. And of course, every monastery had at the very least a lake. They had to have fish and they had to have fresh water. And so he called another of the little oblates that were there, St. Maurus, and he commanded him, "Go and save your brother Placid, who is drowning. Go, run out there and go into the middle of the lake and pull him by his hair." Obviously, he was not already made the solemn vow, so his head had not been shaved. So St. Maurus went and pulled Placid out of the lake, who did not drown, and as a result was able to do great things with his life. After he was professed as a young monk and he was ready in every which way, St. Benedict commanded him to go to Sicily, where Tertullus, his father, had given to St. Benedict a good piece of land not too far from the water, and there he was to found a monastery, another Benedictine monastery. By then, the monasteries were beginning to grow, one after the other, as they will again in the near future when this horrible time through which we are living is put to an end. And so he went, and there were about 30 monks or so, and that was a very small monastery, by the way. Monte Cassino had about 200, 300. And so he founded this monastery, the Abbot Placid. And his two brothers and sister came to visit him. They couldn't go to visit them, so they came to visit him. And it was at this time that a wicked pirate who was very much against the church and against Christ came and invaded these lands. And he took Placid and the monks and also his sister and the two brothers, and they were tortured mercilessly, and all kinds of things were done to them, too much to recount here, until finally, not having succumbed to all their tortures, they were all beheaded. Of course, this was sometime in the middle of the 5th century, since, after all, St. Benedict died around the year 430. So it could not have been too long after that. In addition, there is another monk who is celebrated on this day from the Middle Ages, at least, maybe before. Saint Benedict the Moor. And Saint Benedict was a monk who happened to also be black, and that's why he was called the Moor. And he himself was very holy, very miraculous, and did many, many great things for others around him. Of course, he too is the saint of Holy Mother of the Church. And then, of course, the most recent of all, that indeed she is the first saint canonized in this third millennium, is Saint Faustina Kowalska, who is the visionary of the apparitions of our Lord Jesus Christ in Krakow in the 1930s. And many, many wonderful things were revealed to her by our Lord. And after her death, the cause for canonization began. And there were some who were against her. There are still some who are against her. And a lot of it is total nonsense. But nevertheless, she was canonized by St. John Paul II as the first saint of this third millennium. And we turn to her. I've been to her to visit her relics many, many times in Krakow, and have had many miracles happen for me there in front of her tomb. And also with the original image of the Divine Mercy, which our Lord gave to her as a great blessing. And so today we celebrate these and many other saints. And of course, as the Gospel and the reading, St. Paul tells us that if you are not married, don't seek to be married. If you are married, don't seek to be freed from marriage. And in the Gospel, he tells us that our faith and our vocation is like a merchant of fine pearls. When the merchant has found the best pearl of all, he sells everything he has and goes after that fine pearl. And the reading also reminds us that those who are found wanting at the end of time, they shall not be gathered into the basin where the chosen ones are. The angels will cast them out into the darkness, which is a symbol of eternal hell. And so today, as we pray to offset all the evil things that are going on in the church and in the world, let us seek to commit and commend ourselves totally to our Lord and to our Lady, and to be able to be in the basin, which will be the resemblance, the example of the church and the church triumphant in heaven and not in hell. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.